God knows how to put it together. He'll give you what you need. You have something today, just take it to the King. He can take care of it. Luke chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 11 and verse number 12. Luke chapter 7, verse 11 and verse number 12. And it came to pass the day after that he, that is Jesus, went into a city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. I want to speak this morning for a few moments on this subject, life's lessons. Life's lessons. Let's come into God's classroom this morning and learn some lessons about life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for answering prayer. Father, as already been prayed at the beginning of the service, we wanted you to come in and invade our service. Father, you have. We thank you for that. And Father, we want to thank you for giving us one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, my prayer is that if there's any who knows not Christ, you'll save them today. And then Father, all of us who are saved, Father, I pray even now that you would help us to realize some life lessons today. Allow us to heed your word and do what we need to do. Take some things to you. Father, please take full control right now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to give you today no long introduction. I want to give you today three things from this passage concerning life's lessons. In case you're taking notes, number one, and you got to get this. You got to get this because I don't want you to think that you're the only one who goes through things in life. Get this first point, get the second, and get the third. Number one, life is full of hurts. I'm going to say that again. This is one of life's lessons. Life is full of hurts. Can anybody say amen there? In Luke chapter 7, verse number 12, the scriptures state, now when he came nigh to the city, excuse me, the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. This woman had experienced many hurts in her life. The Bible tells us that this woman, or teaches us that at one time this woman was married, but now her husband has died. I'm sure that she probably had dreams of, you know, maybe they're growing old together and spending time together, reminiscing about their life and sharing their dreams and goals and aspirations and everything together, but her husband had died. I don't know how old he was when he died. I don't know how old she was when he died, but one thing that I do know, she was a widow. He was dead. Let me stop right here and say to the married couples in here, you don't know how long your wife is going to be living. You don't know how long your husband is going to be living. So now, while the both of you are together, spend time with one another. Make memories together. Share your heart's compassion and desires and dreams and wishes with one another. Make some memories so that if the Lord tarries is coming and one goes home to be with the Lord before the other, you'll have fond memories of each other. Take advantage of the time that you have now. This woman at one time had to go to a coffin
and to see her husband placed in a coffin and buried 6 feet under. But yet she had one son that she could hold on to. The Bible teaches us that he was an adult. He's addressed as a man. He was an adult. She had no other children. And you know anything about Eastern customs, women love to have a lot of children. Now, here in the United States and other places, they try to make things so that you only want to have just one or two. Most hotel rooms are made for 4 people max. And if you have to add one, you will make it uncomfortable, put out a rollout cot. But in Eastern times, they wanted to have a lot of children. But she only was able to have one child. And he grew to adulthood. That meant that she had to deal with the hurt of not being able to have a number of children. The Bible tells us over in Psalm 127, verse 3, down through verse number 5, the Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." It says, "They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." See, when you have a lot of children, or when you would have a lot of children back in Eastern times, then that was a blessed thing. That meant that the smile of God was upon your life, and the blessings of God were flowing in your life. And this woman had to deal with the hurt of only being able to have one child, but at least she had that one child. So she had hurt with her husband passing away. She had hurt not having a lot of children. And I'm not telling you that you have to have, you know, 7, 8, or 9, or 10 children. I'm not saying that. Because if you have 9 children today, you might have some problems, amen. When my wife and I, when we first were married, we said we were going to have 7 children. 7 is a number of completeness. 7, you know, everything we wanted to do, we wanted to be spiritual. Amen? But after, amen, but after the first, things begin to change. I could tell you some stories about that first one. I could tell you stories about being in the delivery room. I could tell you stories about a picture that was on the delivery room, in the delivery room with rocks on it. And I told my wife, I said, "Focus on the rocks and the water in that picture." And I know she was thinking, "You did not tell me anything like that." And all the mothers in here said, "You know what it's like. You know what it's like." And then the second one came along. And that was great. Still after the delivery. A time of delivery. Then after 2, we said, "We better rethink this thing." And so we said, if the Lord would give us a baby girl, we said, she's going to have to do some semen and sew up that quiver. But we said, our quiver will be full. Amen. And God answered that prayer and gave us our third child, a baby girl. Our quiver was full. And this year, we'll celebrate 29 years of marriage. And hallelujah to the Lamb. We ain't adding any more to the quiver. Lord willing, amen. Here is what I'm saying. We were blessed to have three children. She was only able to have one. But now, and there was hurt that went along with that. But now, this one child that she had, that she could pump her life into and her desires into and try to make this child's dream come to pass. Now, this one child, she's following a coffin. This one child has died. And I call the child because even though it was a man, but any parent in here knows what I'm talking about. All of our children are adults. They're all in their 20s. But to us, they're still our children. We don't treat them like they're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or even 16 or 17. But they're always our children. They will always be. And it's a hurtful thing to have to walk away from a casket. But now she is following behind that casket. And I want to say, as I've already spoken to the husbands and the wives, let me say to the fathers and the mothers, God only gives you a certain amount of time with your children. Spend time with them. I will tell you something about money. Money will come and money will go. But the things that the children will remember the most are those times that you went fishing together or you did something together. Spend some time with them. Serve the Lord together. Together. Spend time because you don't know when God may call one home. That would be a hurtful thing. Anyone who's ever experienced the loss of a child is a hurtful thing. She had lost her son. She had lost her husband. She was only able to have one child. Hurt after hurt after hurt after hurt. But if I could bring it home to you, life is just full of hurts. Maybe you came in this morning and something has hurt you. Maybe you're hurting because of something that has transpired. Maybe it's unfulfilled desires. Maybe it's a prayer that has not been answered. Maybe it's something that's going on with a child or with your children. Maybe it's something going on in your body. Maybe it's something going on with a mate. Maybe just something going on with your job or life, but you are hurting today. One of life's lessons is that life is full of hurts. The Bible teaches us something, though, in chapter 7, verse number 12. Notice the latter part. It says, and much people of the city was with her. See, what happens is bitter people, if you allow bitterness to set in because of your hurts, then oftentimes bitter people can only associate with bitter people. And normally it's not going to be a multitude, it will be a select few. This woman evidently knew how to handle her hurts and did not allow her hurts to destroy her on the inside, because there were much people, not just of her family, but much people of the city was with her. That meant that she had to have some kind of connection with the people there in the city. She didn't become a recluse. She didn't get away from everybody and everything because of her hurts. She was still active and associating with people, and the people of the city from all around came to be where she was. Let me say something today. Sometimes you may experience hurts in your life, things that can hurt you deeply, cut you deeply, but don't allow your hurts to make you bitter. Allow them to make you better. Don't allow them to cause you to give up on your dreams and your desires and your goals in life just because of some hurt that you have experienced. There's a man that I like to use often. I've used him in different messages. His name is Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, probably the president has been mimicked the most out of all of the other presidents. The one concerning whom they erected the Lincoln Memorial there in Washington, D.C., and other things that we could talk about with him. Probably the most recognized president of all of our presidents, and he was a Christian. He was hated by some, but loved by by many. And after his death, people were able to see all of the good that he did. And thank God for a whole lot that he did. I could just tell you some of the good things. But here is the point I'm trying to get to, is that for the first 30 years of his adult life, do you know that he experienced hurt after hurt after hurt almost every year to every other year of his life? By the time he became president, he experienced so much hurt until, if it wasn't for the Lord on his side, where would he have been? Let me chronicle his life very briefly for you and let you know that sometimes you may experience hurt and pain, but don't let it stop you, incapacitate you. Don't let it cripple you. Determine that failure is not going to be final. At the age of 22, listen to this. At the age of 22, he failed in business. That was a hurt, a hurt. At the age of 23, he ran for the legislature and was defeated. That was a hurt. At age of 24, he again failed in business and became bankrupt. Took him 7 years to pay off his bankruptcy. At age 25, he was elected to the legislature. That's something good. At age 26, his sweetheart died. At the age of 27, he had a nervous breakdown, hurt. At the age of 29, he was defeated for Speaker of the House, hurt. At age 31, he was defeated for the elector, hurt. At age 34, he was defeated for Congress, hurt. At age 37, he was elected for Congress. That's good. At age 39, he was defeated for Congress, hurt. At age 46, he was defeated for the Senate, hurt. At age 47, he was defeated for vice presidents, hurt. At age 49, he was defeated for the Senate, hurt. At age 51, he was elected the 16th president of the United States. He did not allow hurt to stop him. You might be sitting there today and you are hurting today, but don't allow hurts to stop you. There is help for your hurts. Life lessons. Number one, I said life is full of hurts. Secondly, life's hurts are noticed by the Lord. I said life's hurts are noticed by the Lord. Notice Luke chapter 7, verse number 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Think about what was going on. Jesus saw this woman weeping. He had compassion on her. And Jesus told her to weep not. So you may think nobody knows about your hurts that you are experiencing, but thank God Jesus knows. There was an old spiritual song, nobody knows. Somebody finish it. Exactly. But there is one who knows your troubles. Thank God it's Jesus. Jesus had compassion. He felt what this woman felt. And our Bible teaches us that we have a high priest who literally, I'll give you a literal translation, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He was in all points tested as we are, yet without sin. There's nothing that you and I can go through that Jesus Christ himself hasn't gone through. You say, well, this woman here, she had experienced the death of a loved one. Do you know that Jesus evidently had already experienced the death of a loved one? His earthly father, I said, not his heavenly, his earthly father at this point was already dead. His earthly father, he knows what it's like. You say, well, I'm lonely today. Thank God Jesus knows what it is to be lonely. He knows what it is to be forsaken. He knows what it is to hurt physically. He knows what it is to experience separation from those that you love. He knows what it is not to even have his kinfolk follow him during his earthly ministry. Matter of fact, during his messianic ministry, James and Jude weren't following him during that time. That was later. He knows what it's like, and I could go on and on. Jesus saw this brokenhearted woman, and what did he do? What did he do? He went and he began to move in on her situation. You look and you think about what was going on concerning the customs of that day. This woman, because she was a widow and now she's lost her son, she would not have anybody to carry on the name, the family line. Also, she will be without a protector. She will be without a provider. She will be without a companion. She would literally, as I've already stated, didn't have anybody to carry on the family line. This woman would have been a lonely woman. But my Bible teaches me that God said in his word that when his mother and his father, when your mother and your father forsake you, then I can lift you up. It wasn't her mother. It wasn't her father. But get the application. It was her husband. It was her son. And the Lord showed up. And by the way, she didn't ask the Lord. He showed up and began to work on her situation. I wonder how many people in here know that even though there are times, and we know we have to ask, but there are times when you have been hurting about something, and you haven't even prayed and asked God to help you, but God sends somebody right into your situation. He does something to help you. You want to know why? Because he sees what you're going through. If his eye is on the sparrow, don't you think he's taking care of you? The very hairs of your head, the Bible says, are all numbered. If he's concerned about your hair, you know he's going to take care of you. He sees where you are right now. He knows what you're going through right now. He knows the hurt that you are experiencing right now. Jesus saw this and he moved in and had compassion. Jesus sees what you're going through. Psalm 34 verse 15, don't turn there. But Psalm 34 verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Listen to times when Jesus will be the closest to you, will be during times of revival and also during times of hurt and pain and disappointment. I could show you that all throughout the scripture. But when you are going through something, when you're going through pain and hurt in your life, you'll find out that he is right there with you. Life's lessons. Lesson number one, life is full of hurts. Secondly, life's hurts are noticed by the Lord. And here's the last one, but ladies, don't put your shoes on yet. Number three, life has a hurt healer. Life has a hurt healer. He can heal your hurts. Notice Luke chapter 7, verse 14. And he came and touched the bier. Literally means that's a bier. That literally means it is an open coffin. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Listen, as I've already stated, no one asked Jesus for help. This woman didn't ask him for help. He acted purely on his compassionate heart for this woman. And Jesus moved on her behalf. I just came to tell you today that Jesus is a miracle worker. He can heal the hurts that you're going through. And at just the time when you expect not, that's when he will show up. This woman had already resigned some things in her heart. She already knew that she was going to have to bury her son. He was already in the coffin. He was already in the casket. She already had in her mind what was going on. She was weeping and she was crying. But my Bible says tears may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And she's about to get some joy because she's going to come face to face with the ultimate hurt healer. Look at verse number 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Oh, you can imagine the joy that was expressed in her heart when her son that was dead has now been delivered, has been brought back to life, and now brought back to her. The first part of that verse I thought was very interesting. I want to make an application. The first part of verse number 14 says, and he came and touched the bier. And literally, and you can pronounce it bier or buyer, however you want to. I pronounce it both ways, like Caribbean or Caribbean, however you want to pronounce. But understand, he came and he touched that coffin. I checked that word touch out. It literally is reflexive. If you understand verb tenses and you understand a reflexive verb is something that you would do to yourself. In other words, I brush my teeth. Brush is reflexive. That's something that I'm doing to myself. Now, you've got to get this because I have seen this passage before, have even preached out of this passage before. But anytime you get back in there and God starts showing you something, it's for a purpose and for a reason. And there are some things that he may not have allowed me to bring out. Maybe another time when I preached on this, like years ago, different points, different message. But he allowed that congregation who was there at that particular time to get what they needed. Some things he can hold off because God lives in the eternal present. He knew that you were going to be here, whomever you are. And he knew you would need what you're getting today. So understand what I'm saying here. And matter of fact, you can check it out for yourself. But the word literally means to fasten oneself to cling. What was happening is just like you would grab a toothbrush and brush your teeth. Brush, reflexive, something you're doing to yourself. He literally would have grabbed a hold of that coffin like he was clinging to that coffin, pulling that coffin into himself, becoming one with that coffin. Now, you've got to understand, think about this. You've got the procession going down. You have this coffin. And now here, the Savior of the world, he stops and he grabs a hold of that coffin. This same word touch has its equivalent in the New Testament, excuse me, in the Old Testament, of a man and a woman in physical union becoming one. You find the word different times in the Old Testament, the word touch, like Abimelech when he was tricked and God had came and spoke to him and let him know that he said, I withheld you from touching her. It carries with it that idea of becoming one with something. And so now, when that coffin comes, Jesus, he stops the coffin. He grabs that coffin and like he is pulling it in to himself to hold on to make sure that nobody can move it because he's about to do something. When I read that, that blessed my soul because I know where I'm going with this one. See the Lord sometimes. And by the way, look at the passage so you can get it. In verse number 14, and he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. They didn't continue to fight against what he was doing. They just stood still. See, sometimes in order for God to heal your hurt, sometimes he's got to stop everything that you're doing. In order for your hurt to be healed, he's got to make sure that you cannot go any further until the healing takes place. Had Jesus just said, all right, stop the coughing, then they could have continued to go on and not listen to him. But now he is out there. He has become one with the coffin. He's saying it will not go any further. Sometimes in life, the Lord will stop you dead in your tracks, because in order for you to get your healing, you cannot continue to go on the way that you've been going. You cannot continue to walk. I wish somebody could help me preach this one today. You cannot continue to walk the way you've been walking. You can't continue to talk the way you've been talking. You've got to stop long enough to let the Lord do what he wants to do in your life. Sometimes, in order for somebody to be healed, there has to be something of this cessation of activity. What do I mean? You remember how when the coffin was there, who's in the coffin? Her son. Jesus stops the coffin. Now her son is in the coffin. She could have said, what are you doing? Leave my son alone. What are you doing? Can't you see I'm already hurting? Now why are you stopping the funeral? Why are you messing with my son's coffin? But she allowed him to do what he needed to do. See, in order for the hurt to be healed, sometimes you've got to let the Lord do what he wants to do. And sometimes there may be more hurt before there's ever healing. Let me illustrate. You're getting prime use today. But our daughter Danielle, when she was just a baby, a child, I can't remember, maybe 8 years old, 9 years, I can't remember now. But when she was a child, she broke her arm. We took her to Forsyth Hospital. I did. Took her to Forsyth Hospital at night. And I brought her in. Her elbow was broken. Thank God it wasn't broken all the way through, but her elbow was broken. They took an x-ray, and they showed me the x-ray of her arm. They're going to take her in a room to work on her. This is my little girl. So what am I doing? I'm going too, amen. I'm going too. This is my daughter. I'm going too. So now I begin to walk out and to go into the place. Say, you can't come in here. And I said, I'm going in. They said, you can't come. And to make a long story short, they did not let me in. I stood on the outside. And while I was standing on the outside, not the outside, but the outside of the room, I heard her in there, little girl, crying, hollering. Now, I'm the daddy. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm the daddy. I want to go in there and do something. But see, I had to be stopped, because had I gone in there, and she said, and she looked at me and said, daddy, help. Okay, now it's all over. You understand? It's all over. Daddy, don't let them hurt me, daddy. You understand what I'm saying? So I had to stay outside, and I had to listen to what was going on. Am I right? But what they were doing is they had to allow a little bit more hurt to get that arm in the right position so that they could do what they needed to do. And then eventually, now we're going with some time lapse now, eventually they had to allow something to become one with her arm in order to bring about a healing. And that was a cast. The cast had to be shaped, molded to her arm. It had to fit her arm. They had to wait, of course, till the swelling went down. You know, that's why I said time. Put the cast on. Now she's immobile. She can't move that arm. But while she can't move that arm, the healing is taking place. See, sometimes you may feel like right now you are at a standstill in your life. You are not moving. You're not going anywhere. Things aren't happening for you like you want them to happen for you. You are hurting. But see, it's during that time that God can be bringing a spiritual healing in your life. Your faith could be extremely damaged. And now he's trying to increase and to help your faith. Maybe you've been hurting in a certain area because you haven't been trusting him. And so now what he does is he allows the hurt to get to the place to where that lack of trust now becomes adoration and belief. And now, Lord, I'm going to trust you regardless, whether I have or whether I don't have. I'm going to trust you. Now the healing has taken place. Sometimes you've got to stop, mother, and let the Lord do what he needs to do with your child. Sometimes you've just got to stand behind and just say, Lord, do what you need to do. Because, see, that son was bringing hurt to her. Not because of the life that he had lived, but because he didn't have any life in him. Listen, you might have, and I'm going to make the application, a lost son or a lost daughter, and they're bringing hurt to your heart because they're dead in trespasses and sin. But if you just step back and allow the Lord to do what he needs to do to work on that child, hey, he can work on that child until when Jesus spoke to that child, the Bible says that man sat up. See, sometimes things are beyond your control. You have to turn it over to the Lord. Let him do what he wants to do, and he can bring life to a dead situation. He can work on that child. He can bring that child. And by the way, there's a union, a uniting that takes place. Jesus, read it in the passage, Jesus brought that child to his mother. Do you know, maybe your child is away from you. The Lord knows where your child is. He knows what your child is doing, what your son is doing, what your daughter is doing. And he can touch them right where they are. And sometimes when a child is away from the Lord, not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and sometimes they get into trouble. Don't always bail them out. It could be at that particular time that the Lord has been working on them and working on them. And sometimes before a person can get their mind right, they've got to go down into the hog pen. But once you get down into the hog pen, it is then that the Lord can bring you out. Just like the prodigal's father had to weigh it on that boy, got that calf all fatted up. But when it was time, the Lord brought him to himself. And he said, how many servants does my father have? And I'm out here perishing and hungry. So I'm going to rise and go to my father. Hey, the Lord knows how to bring some things together. In order for your hurts to be healed, you need to allow the Lord to heal them. In conclusion, notice the good that came out of her hurts. Notice verse 16 and down through verse number 18. Verse 16 and down through verse number 18. It says, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. Listen, Luke 7:16 says they glorified God. It's the tense of the Greek word is literally is what's called the imperfect active. In other words, they started glorifying God and they kept right on glorifying God. See, sometimes God allows hurts in our lives and troubles so he can heal us and get some glory out of it. The Lord can heal you. During the lowest times in your life as a Christian, you will find out that he will be there to get you through your hurts. With this poem, I will close. It will be recognized by many. It will be new to some. But listen closely to this poem as I close. It says, one night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. He said, Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. However, I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Isn't that a blessing? It was then, he said, that I carried you. Some of you in here today, the reason why you are here, you've been hurting, but the Lord carried you here. He brought you here today. Let him heal your hurt. When you came in, there may have been only one set of footprints in the sand because he was carrying you. But when you leave here today, leave here walking side by side with him. Leave here today with two sets of footprints in the sand, healed and walking above your troubles and your hurts. Thank God he is a hurt healer. Let's bow for a word of prayer.